Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number three. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, everybody. We're about to go talk to Score Tracker. It's Johnny B.
I'm telling you, man. Got Score Tracker update
score
coming up.
Score Tracker's are
got
us.
Through with Plog, going to the bottom. Now we're going to Topwater.
I mean, we're about to hit the hat trick on Galveston. Coming,
yeah, and then after that, we get to go talk to Cliff Webb.
There you go.
Spend some time with him. All right, well, that's cool. Got a good lineup this morning. All right, let's go to Captain Steve Hillman out of sunny San Leon this morning, see what he's up to. Steve, what's going on?
Not a lot, man. Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
I'm going to be just a little tardy this morning.
A little tardy?
A little bit late. Yeah.
Well,
I was telling Johnny B, well, the first time he called me, I was seeing a man about a dog. And then I realized I pulled out of my driveway and I try not to fish Saturdays these days, and one of my old customers, his son's in town, and his kids.
Sure.
I pulled out of the driveway, and I realized it was trash day, and you know where I live. I live on a dead-end dirt road. It's like 200 feet, and so I had to drag my trash all the way to the main road. So I leave again, and then I realize that I forgot my children's life jackets, so I had to go back. Anyway,
oh, gosh.
Just one of those mornings, and now I'll go get out here on a Saturday and look at a million people and catch five trout. So, anyway.
Well, I'm fixing to. I'm up here just hanging out at the bait camp, and I'm fixing to watch Navy SEALs swim across the Hudson this morning. They do that every year. Listen, there.
You're going to watch
there's
what?
Your Navy SEALs swim across the Hudson River this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Boy, they're all.
I wish I was doing that.
Boy, they're buff. Man, they're cut. Those
oh,
guys,
sure.
They look too muscled up to swim.
Man. Hey, you better, speaking of muscled up and all that stuff, better eat your Wheaties before you take rolling in them at the end of the month, because those guys don't have any quit in them. Hey, we waited until 4 o'clock yesterday. We fished till 4 o'clock yesterday in that heat. Those guys are animals.
Yeah, they are.
We had to, though, because we didn't catch anything. but no, we caught some fish. We had, we probably caught 25, 30 trout. We all had 13 keepers up to about 3.5 pounds and one flounder. It was really, really tough. Really
yeah.
Tough bite. Toughest bite I had all week.
Right.
I mean, the fish were there. We actually had a lot of slicks, man, but we could not make those fish eat. I mean, we tricked a few of them, obviously, but, man, it was like pulling teeth, man. And then we waited this one spot. It's kind of deep. I don't know, belly to chest deep water. And these four guys in a Robalo, they drifted in between me and Roland while we're waiting.
Uh-uh.
And I'm...
No way.
Roland could have reached, this is not an exaggeration, Roland could have reached out and touched the side of their boat. He had to walk out of their way so he didn't get run over.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. How about that? I mean, I don't know. I don't understand where this world is right now. I really don't. And then we had another guy, a couple of other folks just scream right through our second stop where we're at. I don't get it, man. People are nuts. And that didn't help us any, to my point.
No, that actually never does.
Roland had three or four little bitty good hard edge slicks pop up in front of him right before that boat went through there. And he had just popped a couple of decent fish. But at least the sharks didn't get us. Roland did see one shark. He said it looked like a linebacker. Swam right by him. Yeah.
Oh man, I don't like that.
No, but I'm switching horses again today. I'm going to another bay today.
Well, you got to fish out of the boat today.
Yeah, I do. I'm ping ponging around, man.
So. Switching horses.
wandering around aimlessly. But honestly, I can't complain. Today's my seventh day in a row, and we've caught fish every day. Every day but yesterday.
I think you're wrong. I think this is eight in a row for you.
I don't know. It's
well, they all run together at this point.
Yeah, but I'm off tomorrow, and then I'm back to work on Monday. But tomorrow I'm moving Brooke in to A&M Galveston. So.
Good for her. You got a Kimberly sweet, beautiful, smart daughter, man.
She's a good girl, man. I haven't got to spend any time with her.
You might want to have her DNA tested. She may not have come from your loins, son.
No, I don't think so.
Like Jackie Gleason said. man. No, you're a lucky man. You got a sweet wife and a sweet daughter. That's all you can ask for.
Mickey, I appreciate you saying that. But anywho, I can't complain. Everything's clicking along, going okay.
Yeah, just you know, with a unusual year we're having, as far as just, you can't get any worse scenarios for everybody. You look at things like that. You know, you're blessed to have the family you have and friends and all that. That's what matters.
Yeah.
It really does. You know, these old trout and all this Corona crap and everything. It just it is what it is.
Well, and that's the deal. We were talking about it yesterday, me and Roland and brought a new guy, Andy.
Andy.
Do you know Andy?
He's the talker.
He is a talker. A guy can talk. I only know, two people that talk as much as him. And Roland kept telling him, shut up and fish, dude. Quit talking. But it was Mike Silva and Andy and Roland, and we were talking. Those guys have been fishing a long time. Hell, they've been fishing with you for probably 30 years.
Yeah.
And so getting back to your point about how fish is just not top of the list, we had 13 trout, and I didn't realize what time it was. And I said, what time is it, guys? And Andy said, man, it's 3:58. I said, really? It's almost 4 o'clock. And I said, y'all really need these last two fish, do you? And they're like, hell no, we don't need them.
We got what we needed.
Yeah, I mean, we just caught two. Roland caught a decent one, and Andy caught one. We could have sat there and beat up on that one little patch of fish this morning and scraped up two more little wormy-ass trout out of them. But we decided, hey, it ain't worth it. We got more important things to do. So... anyway, that was my first day without a stupid limit of trout in like 7 days. And I'll tell you, there's only been like 2 days in the last 7 days where we could have caught an old limit. In other words, if we weren't on these new limits, then we'd be crying the blues, man. We only caught 15. We only caught 16. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's just tough. It's tough right now.
Yes, it
is. Water's hot. Running about 85 to 87 degrees where I'm fishing, most areas I'm fishing. Backside of the full moon. Very little current yesterday. Real stagnant. I mean, we didn't hardly see any bait. We saw those slicks. Of course, these fish must be feeding the night before because they're full of those shad and mullet, and they're so digested. They're nasty. They're not. What's in their stomach is not that day's meal. It's from the night before. And that has a lot to do with it. They're just not hungry. That's why the bites are so spongy. You know, putting those little johns on, and just dragging them on the bottom. Real soft bite.
You know, we were talking about that the other day, that Little John. You know, it is a versatile bait. You can do a lot of things with it, and it's good when you're having to fish deep and slow everything down and get that bait down to the bottom quick. And
yeah.
But, you know, when they do that old chicken-pecking, nibbling type, you know, vibration bite, and you're thinking, oh, man, that's some kind of croaker or hardhead smacking on my bait. But actually, it's trout doing that. They get that scent. They taste that scent, and that's when they come back and pick that bait up and suck it on in and take off with it.
And I guarantee you the fact that that bait is impregnated with some kind of formula, some kind of scent, that makes a big difference on these tough bite days. We were talking about it yesterday.
Right.
You're exactly right. And we had asked Roland when he fishes with you here in a couple of weeks, how many bites. I'm not the guy that talks. I don't like to sit here and talk about bites, but my God, we had so many bites yesterday that we didn't get, and we lost some fish. But I think that scent, I think you're exactly right. It causes them to do a double take and come back and maybe hold on to it the second or third try. I mean, we had a lot of fish we caught that they would miss it the first two or three times and then come back and just hold on to it. And it wasn't, they weren't hits. They weren't strikes. It was like a crab on a chicken neck.
Just a soft pickup, you know?
Yeah, it was horrible.
And that's
man.
So hard to get, you know, especially people that are inexperienced with jig fishing like that. It's hard on them.
And if you don't have the right gear, it's like we all, you know, rolling them, they got the right stuff. All my guys all week, I had good crews all week for the most part. And well, look at me. I've been throwing my Waterloo carbon mag lately.
Right.
Back on that. I'm bouncing back and forth between my HP Light and my carbon mag. Uh-huh. And then I've got 30-pound braid and then about a 5-foot, 20-pound fluorocarbon cigar shock leader. And then that I'm throwing that TX2, that new TX2 that Mike shipped us.
Right.
None of my stuff weighs anything. It's feather light, real sensitive. Now, you put somebody on the boat, like I'm going to have today, throwing spinners, and not that experienced, you're not going to feel that bite. You're not going to feel that soft bite. You don't even know how many bites you'll get. I mean, I've had days where I look over at the customer and say, hey, man, you're on. You got a fish. And if I have to tell you when you have a fish, that's not good. But, you know. It'll get better, though. It'll get better.
Well, and what people don't realize, you know, you get a guy that, you know, an experienced fisherman that fishes with a spinning rod, you know, they can feel things that the average Joe can't. They're really advanced. But just the regular old Joe with a spinning rod, he's not going to feel a third of his bites like he would if he threw a bait caster where he has his hand on the blank and the reel itself. And that makes a big difference when the bite's light like that. It really does.
Yeah. Man, here comes my crew. I got the Waltons today. Golly. I might as well have Williams party boats tattooed across my forehead. I need a bigger boat.
What do you got, four today?
Yeah, I got four.
Oh, you got a crew, man.
I got the picket fence.
That 22 whaler will be full to the brim. Hopefully that box is full of fish when you come in too, man. You can catch 20 today.
I might be keeping some sand trout or something today. They're already trying to get in the boat. I got to get out of here.
Well, do your thing, man. I know, but I appreciate you, Steve, and appreciate the conversation. Good luck.
Oh, yeah.
And, throw them out a number. Somebody wants to call you and come to G-Town and do their thing with you, man.
You bet, man. I got about 3 or 4 days left in August, and I've got all kinds of holes on the calendar from September through December. So, come on. 409-256-7937.
You got it. Well, it's always a pleasure, my friend.
Me too, Mickey. I appreciate it.
Okay, Steve. Take care, buddy.
All right.
All right. Captain Steve Hillman down in sunny San Leon. All right. Well.
Now, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
to go and what to throw.
Good morning, gentlemen. If you had to choose a setup, what would it be? One rod, reel, and one bait. Live or artificial. Stay safe. Like they say, we're all in this together. God bless us all. So if you had one to choose from.
How much money you want to spend?
First? Setup, yeah. Well, money's no object. Okay. Let's look at it that way. What would it be? One rod, reel, and one bait. Live or artificial. I know Blaine, I'd go ahead and vouch for him. It'd be a live Kroger.
Big Lake to Matagorda. And some places in between. Fayette County, Buchanan, and Big Sam to live in. Lake Livingston and Conroe. If you wanna hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Oh, Blaine's listening.
Oh, he's gonna be pissed.
No, I don't care.
Well,
no,
what kind of popping cart? What is Blaine using now, popping cart?
Well, right now they're using Hop-O-Matics and Tor.
I know, but
big
what
one.
Cart?
I saw it, dude.
No, he's using big old knocker corks.
Big old ones
with beads on them and
the weight on the bottom.
Trinket trash everywhere, man. It's nasty.
Man, them old Bull Dark Diet carts. You know what we used to use?
Yeah.
They had that, what was the name of them, the real name?
Keelman Poppers.
Keelman Poppers. They had different, they had an extra pop thing on the bottom. So you got a double pop.
Yeah.
Hey, it hit the water on them whales. You throw about 60 yards, it hit the water, and before you could pop it, it just kept going. You knew you was on it.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday. It is 6:19 in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Corpus now. Let's get hooked up with old Captain Cliff Webb, see what's up with him. Cliff, what's going on, man?
All good, Mickey. All good, man. You guys are sounding good today. Enjoying your show today. It's really good.
We're getting through it. It's Johnny B and I, we're punch drunk. No sleep overnight. Just we're making it.
Oh, that's awesome, man. It's been smoking good fishing down here this week. You know, that bite right before the full moon and the surf was just some of the best I've ever seen. I they shut our beaches down, so I'm having to hike in. I found this place where I put a backpack on and I walk. It's a long walk, but the fish are just stacked on the beach. It was the first place that they cleaned the beach up with all the maintainers and stuff. And for about 2 weeks now, it's been dead quiet, not a single vehicle or nothing for miles and miles. And I get in there, and it's dead calm on Monday morning, Mickey. And those tarpon, snook, trout, sharks are within 10 feet of the beach. It's like a line of fish as far as you can see. Eating mullet, eating pogies. It was just – I walk up there, and my mouth just fell open. And I said, this is unbelievable. And I caught 26 trout, 15 sharks, a giant bluefish, and a skipjack before 9 o'clock. I mean, you know, that just doesn't get much better than
that's crazy.
You know, good trout, those 22s, 23, those big old Gulf trout. And every time you'd reel one in, there'd be a shark trying to eat him half and two. And, I mean, I'm standing on the bank, and the sharks are out of the water with their backs trying to get my trout before I get into the beach. And then when I turn him loose, I had to walk down the beach about 4 or 5 foot and pitch him in so the sharks wouldn't get him. You know, they're
crazy.
Just sitting there waiting for him and throwing back. It's just nuts. It's absolutely nuts, man.
Man.
But, it goes to show you what happens when the surf gets really calm and the fish get close to the beach and you have no noise, no vibration, no jet skis, no dogs in the water, no nothing. And those fish get right up on that bar and they want to pin that bait down up on that beach. And you look down the beach and you see, you know, fins and blow-ups, all spars you can see down the beach. And I caught so many sharks on topwater, Mickey, they sunk my topwater. I was throwing that chrome blueback, that he dog that Mike gave us for the surf, that the one at Sanford loves. And,
right.
I finally threw that thing out there, and it kept going down and making weird noise, and it didn't have the walk feel it has on the rod. It didn't have that feel. You know, something's wrong here. I realized there's a bunch of holes in it from those sharks. I go home, and I'm all pumped up, and you really can't take any fish out of there because you walk so far, they'd spoil on the stringer before you got back.
Oh, they'd ruin before you ever got back to your truck, man.
I told my wife about it. She says, man, we got to have some surf trout. She says, I'll go with you tomorrow, and I'll pack a backpack, and I'll put a half a bag of ice in it, and we'll take a couple trout out for dinner. And so we get in there, you know, 5 o'clock, and she puts a backpack on, and I take a little ice chest, a little soft ice chest, and put a couple of waters and a half a bag of ice. I said, man, we'll get some fish dinner. And we walk in there, and the mosquitoes are so bad that you almost have to put insect repellent in your eyeballs so they won't suck the blood out of your eyeballs.
Oh, Lord.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's just like mosquito heaven, and you're breathing them, you know. So we finally get down to the beach, and it's just amazing. It's a little bit rougher than it was on Monday, a little more swell. And we throw top water, and they're hitting top water pretty good. We're catching some nice fish, but nothing like Monday. And so I went to that Meridine, the XL, the black back silver size, just the bigger one, you know. And I told my wife, just throw it out there and put your rod at a 45-degree angle and just slow roll it. And we just spanked them, man.
Just, Meridine, you know, XL. Nice. That's a good bait, man.
It is, man. And when it gets rough, I like that double XL, the big one. When it's a little rough, it runs truer in the current.
Right. Yeah, that's a big shad body type bait. Them trout love that.
They do, man. And the double D was working. Then, you know, later on the day, it shut down real quiet, and the bite got off. You know, the water's so clear, it was hard to catch them on top where they'd roll at it, but they could see everything. And so you remember that little mirror mullet that mirror lure makes? It's a little like a stick. It just has no sound at all. It's called a mirror mullet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's an old bait. And, man, when it's calm in the surf, Mickey, they hose that thing, dude. And if you throw it out and those rafts of mullet just outside of them and doesn't make any noise, you just kind of twitch your rod tip like you're working a regular corky, like you're working a standard corky.
Uh-huh.
And you slip it real slow, but never stop it. And I'll tell you what, they'll knock it out of your hand, man. It was cool. It was cool, man.
Well, I'm ready to put my gear on and wait out this morning, buddy. You got me fired up now.
I'm fired up, man. I've fished every day this week, and I got a fishing injury. I can't hardly move. I just now got out of bed. So I'm fishing this topwater, and I worked this topwater out about 10 feet from me in the first gut, and this black tip jumps out of the water after my topwater, almost hits me in the face. And when I jerk real hard to the side, I pull that side muscle down my back.
Oh,
and, man,
gosh.
I couldn't get out of bed the next day, you know. But, you know, fishing injury, it's kind of like a sex injury. A fishing injury is not bad, dude. It's how you got
no,
it.
It's not. Oh, never heard it put like that. Fish injury
yes,
and a sex injury, comparing the two.
You're gonna get hurt. You're hurt.
They're both fun, yeah. That's good stuff.
But they still got our beaches closed down here, and we got people suing the city over closing the beaches. It's hilarious down here, man.
It's a crazy world we live in these days. Everything's closed. I mean, what do they consider essential and non-essential? I mean, I just don't get how they do that. I mean,
yeah.
One business can be open, but this other one can't.
It's nuts. And so they got everybody in these parking lots where there's, you know, thousands of people in the parking lot eating out their tailgate, camping and partying off their tailgate, normal stuff they do on the beach in the parking lot next to the beach. Now, how can that be?
What's the difference?
I just don't get it, man. But anyway, it's kind of like going to Colorado and they said, oh, let me shut the mountains down. Sorry, can't go on the mountains. You might fall.
Yeah, no skiing this year. We're gonna shut the slopes down.
You might get hurt, dude. Anyway.
Yeah, you might
get
hurt.
It's hard to live on an island and shut the beach down. What are you going to do, live in the middle? I didn't buy an island and not have a beach. It's kind of like buying a donut and living in the middle. You know, like,
yeah.
You know, here's a donut, but all you can have is the middle. Makes me crazy.
I know, all of us.
But anyway, I'm getting in shape walking into the beach. It's only a good thing. I'm feeding the mosquitoes. I'm losing blood and losing weight walking into the
beach. Yeah, I was talking to Brian Barrera down there at South Padre yesterday, and he said, man, they're out in the Gulf tarpon fishing, and the mosquitoes are carrying them off, man.
Yeah. Man, you wouldn't believe the tarpon here, too. God almighty. I can't get it. They're coming down that beach, Mickey, and they'll swirl at it, but they will not eat it. I hooked a really nice snook in a shark chasing real far, and I had to freeze pull for a minute where the shark wouldn't get him, and he got off. But that snook came in the first gut. He's about 30 inches and a big old black tip on him. He's trying to get him, and he's making those burst speed. And so I just freeze pull for a second, let him run, and he come off. But I think the shark would have probably got him. I couldn't, you know, what do you do, keep a half a snook? I mean, what do you tell a game where, yeah, he was 27 inches, but the shark bit him in half, you know? So
right, yeah, good luck explaining that one, yeah.
No, I'm not going to keep it. So you just kill that fish for nothing, you know? Anyway, so it's been all good, Mickey. The Laguna Madre is just smoking hot. The fish is good in Laguna. It's just hard to get off the surf. It's just so good in the surf.
I understand. I mean, that's a good luxury to have. You know, your bay's good and your surf's good.
Man, it's always good after a storm. And I went to the Brini the other day to pick a bag of ice up, and there was guys back at 8:15 with a limit of fish on croakers, hanging them up, taking a picture, shaking hands, guys, 8:15. I'm going, wow. that's a short day right there, buddy.
Man. Yeah, and probably 45 minutes of that was boat riding.
No, they just run out. I mean, what happened on the storm is all that fresh water flushed in from packery and stuff, and it's really rejuvenated the upper Laguna Madre. And what happened, all that stagnant water, all that dead grass in the upper lagoon, that big 3.5-foot flush comes through packery, and it blew all in Laguna Madre. And then when it flowed back out, it brought all the good fresh water in there. So now we're seeing a better numbers of fish in the upper Laguna Madre. It definitely helped bath and stuff because it washes all the bait stuff out of the rocks and really stirs up the fish and brings all the salinity levels right. So it was a win-win situation, that storm. It definitely helped.
Well,
it's going to be a smoke
ball. Don't you just hate it when everything comes together?
I got one trip in August, but it's I'm having a blast fishing by myself. You know, I ain't making no money. Hey, I'm eating fish and peanut butter, but it's good, man. It's all good.
Oh, man. Well, hey, let me take a quick break and come back at you, and we'll talk some more, man. You got me all buzzed up this morning. I'm ready to go fishing.
Oh, dude, I'm going to have another cup. I'll have another cup of coffee. All right.
Well, matter of fact, I'm having another one. I made it the last break. All right, I'll be right back with you, Cliff. Hang with me, man. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 634 in the Bayou City. I'm going backwards. All right, well, let's go back to Cliff Webb and talk some more, man. Cliff, we are back. Thanks
for
holding.
And I was just talking to Johnny B. He's coming down south. He's coming down to the beach this week, next week. So I told him, he says he better stop in and fish with me a little bit on the beach.
Yeah, he's supposed to go fish with Tony G. on Wednesday, and now he's getting to go with you on Tuesday.
Oh, well, you know, I'm going to be on that beach. If it's rough, I'm taking a surfboard. If it's calm, I'm taking a rod. I may take both, but I'm going, man.
There you go.
I feel like I got the golden ticket.
You do. You got the golden goose, Cliff Webb.
Yeah, I don't know.
There you go.
You hadn't fished or you fished with this guy, Johnny. I'm telling you that.
I'm excited to go.
Oh, man, it'll be fun anyway.
Y'all are making me jealous,
you know,
man.
It's just typical surf fishing, and it's either hot or cold. If it's calm and everything right, it's smoking. If it's rough, it's tough. So, you know, you just got to play the hand you get.
Oh, I had a listener text me during the break, Cliff, and he wanted to know whatever happened to Eddie Monster, the cat. He moved across
Eddie
the highway,
gone,
didn't he?
Man. Yeah, he's gone and haven't seen. And it's funny because you know, I don't hang out at the marina like I used to. They changed the owner, just been so crazy busy and with this summer, so I've been putting into the private ramp on the island. So I don't go to 37 as much as I used to, but. You know, the Eddie Monster was an old picture of that cat. That cat had the biggest head I've ever seen of any animal. Body size I've ever
That's
seen
why y'all nicknamed him Eddie Monster, man.
Yeah, that was
got
insane,
a
man.
Big old head on him. Did he have a widow's peak?
Yeah. God. You know, we had an old mama cat that lived 16 years at 37. You know, she only had one tooth in the front, and she'd hop up on that table, the fish clean table, and she would she didn't want to eat the belly piece had a bone. You had to peel the meat off the bone. That's how spoiled she got. And then she went almost blind, and where she just kind of stayed on the marina. The guys were feeding her. But that cat lived 16 years at that marina without the coyote getting it. That's amazing.
I remember I had at Crawley's back in the day, the old Crawley's, the original one we you know, all the guides ran out of on Trinity Bay back in the day. There was an old cat there that somebody shot it with a .22 and blew its front leg off, and it just had the bone hanging out. And Gene Campbell and I got in from fishing that day, and, I mean, that cat was like our mascot. You know, it'd just sit there and gorge on rib cages while we were filleting fish. And we got that cat over there and got our first aid kit out and doctored it all up and put Neosporin and all, you know, boiled it out with peroxide and wrapped it all up with a bandage on it. And that cat was, you talk about a battle-tested cat. I don't know how long that cat lived there. I mean, for years and years. And I think it finally just ran off and died. We never saw it again.
Now, we got one at the hunting lease that just lives out in the middle of nowhere. It's, you know, just amazing that cat can live. You know, we got a little camp at the lease. Everybody's got their trailer and that stray cat's there. And there's nobody around there in the summer. That cat's been there 2 years. Wow.
That cat would lay under my truck. Jerry Crawley said, that cat would lay under your truck, and I'd pull up to the dock, and as soon as it'd hear my voice, it'd take off for the cleaning table. And he'd wait on us to unload our box and take it over and start filleting out trout. That cat was definitely a warrior. been through it all.
That, all my many years ago, 20, 30 years, I took a few pictures and stuff of things around the marina because things will never be the same. We had a seagull there that someone shot it with a blowgun, and the dart went through its neck but didn't kill it, and we called it T-Bone. And
T-Bone?
So T-Bone would sit on this post every day at 37 for years and sit there, and he had that wire through his neck, that little pin through his neck. It didn't bother him. Kind of like he was cool. He had a body piercing, you know. He was one of the first to get a nose pin, but he was looking good, man.
We named that cat Peg Leg.
Yeah. That's something, man. But it's funny how things in your life roll. The ones that are crippled are indifferent from the others, the ones you remember. You know, that's funny how that is. But, marker 37, I've seen a lot of changes at 37 since I've been around. My gosh, man. It's really something now. It's a really nice marina, but, man, is it crowded? You can't even get in there. So I go over the bridge and look at the parking lot. There's not a place to park a vehicle by 7 o'clock. It's nuts.
Yeah, and they got a lot of parking there. I mean, that's filling her up. Is it that way during the week, too?
It's better, you know. During the week, it's pretty bad. It's like a normal Saturday, but Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is just unbelievable. Now that they shut the beaches down, just the locals can't go to the beach either, so all the locals have their boats out too. Everybody, you know, so it makes it really crowded, and some of the boat ramps are still shut down, so it's pretty congested here right now. I think it will get better.
Well, I don't know. We've been saying that all year, and it's just an immense amount of fishing pressure this year. You know, even on all the area lakes, you know, all the guides I talk to on Rayburn and, you know, Livingston and all over the place, Conroe and all, it's just unbelievable how many people are fishing this year, I guess.
Yes, sir. Try to get fishing tackle. You go to the stores, the shelves are just raped. It's
Isn't
just
that amazing?
Amazing? I talk to Mike Herring and stuff, and he, you know, can't hardly keep anything on the shelves. Did he send you some of those little swimming sheds? He got
That's the new minnows that they redesigned. Wow. Mirlure did, and they're really nice. Damn. I caught some fish on them last week.
That one looks just like a mud minnow. God almighty.
Yeah, it does. It looks, well, just like a mud minnow or finger mullet, you know, and it runs good. You put it on a jig head, and it swims really good, man.
Yeah, and then, you know, on those baits, I use a little bit longer shank lead heads so they don't roll. A short lead head, they'll roll a little bit, but I put the one at the Mirlure sells, and I tell you what, that Pro Lead, it really works good.
That's the head that Tidal Surge had originally, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, it keeps it up straight. And, you know, if I use the Bass Fast and the Sea Shad, I use a shorter shank because it's a shorter bait and doesn't roll. But in the dirtier water, like a higher profile bait, and that marshmallow works really good. Also, the marshmallow, you don't lose a tail very much. It's a real tough plastic on the perch. You'll get some half moons out of it, but you can really keep them in there. But it's funny how our bikes shift to a swim bait this time of year a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you guys, but little johns are working, but a lot of times my fish are up in the sand and need water, and you got to have something to run by them that wiggles, and that's when the swim bait works so good for me.
Well, and that how are you liking your Gen 2 reels?
Oh, my God.
Aren't they nice?
Man, I'm just, you know, I'm using that Texas 2, the new TX2.
The TX2, yeah.
I'm throwing that thing in the surf, Mickey. I've thrown nothing but that in the surf, and I don't rinse it off. I don't do nothing. I loosen the drag when I come home, and it's just been an animal. I can fire that thing up there. I caught a lot of big fish on it. You don't realize how big a fish you can turn with 30-pound line with 120 yards on it. You can turn a pretty big fish.
Well, and, you know, they've just – what they did was they took their good reels that they already had and they redesigned these a little bit with some, you know, like the hard anodized worm shaft and, you know, the extra strong titanium-coated aluminum cut-drive gears they put in them. And what I like is the way they've cut these spools now, the way they're machined, it doesn't allow water to get into the cages on either side of the reel cage itself as easily. And plus, where all the screws set in there, they're like gaskets in there. that prevent water from coming in through the screws into the reel cage itself also.
And another thing that gasket does, too, is it keeps the corrosion on the bottom of the screw, so when you reach in there to undo it, it doesn't turn to powder. You know how corrosive, we're 80 parts per thousand of salt. If you want to trash a reel, send it to me. I mean, I'll tear it up because the salt's only so high. And I love the 13s, but that was a problem they were having. I've used them for a year or so, and all of a sudden I look at the screws, and they'd be hard to get out. They'd have to, get them out, put new screws in. But now they got that gasket. They don't corrode as bad. But the other thing is I love about them is what you said about the spool. So you pop your spool out now to wipe your spool off around the edges, keep it nice and smooth. There's no moisture inside that plate next to the spool.
Nope, there's
that
not.
There's a lot of resistance on your cast, plus a lot of corrosion. So that was a big improvement, the spool. That's probably their best improvement there.
I think so, too. It's called a, what do they call it, a high spin rate spool system?
Yeah. I love the white one. I throw the white one in the bay. I haven't thrown the white one in the surf yet, but that little white reel is super light. It weighs 5-point-something ounces. Just amazing.
Yeah.
I put on that Waterloo carbon mag, and I tell you what, that's a light rig right there.
I bet it is.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to go back in time with the equipment we have now?
Make you think about the fish I lost. And I was standing at one of my favorite places, it's probably like 1985, 87. And I was in a school of trout. There was hundreds of big trout. And I was down to maybe 50 yards of line on my reel because I had broken off so many big fish. I couldn't get them out of the rocks.
Right.
I had to go back to the boat and re-spool my reel to keep fishing. And I broke off so many big fish. I'm tying directly to 15-pound big game. Didn't even use a leader. Didn't think about using a leader back then. How nuts was that? God.
I know.
Like Wallace caught that big fish. Tied direct, 15 big game. That's amazing.
Yep. Well, it just what we could have, should have, would have done.
Yeah, but that rubber band.
I think about all the reels. We'd hook all those big trout and all that jerky drag system, your old rod tip just up and down, just jerking and no smoothness at all to your drag. We were fortunate to land some of the big fish we did back then with inferior tackle we had to fish with.
Oh, dude, how many times you got a big trout up to you and you reach over your hand and start ripping it out to get him away from you because he's too green, he's too close, and the reel's jerking, so you got to peel your line off with your hand and get him away from you a little bit so you can get some, a little play in him because those big fish will run right in on you, and when they're green and you got light equipment, they're going to tear you up, man, if you don't get him away from them.
Well, that's what used to hurt us when those big fish would get up close to you like that and really, jolt to make another run. I got real good at being able to push my thumb bar down and just free spool it with my thumb. And so it'd be smooth and it wouldn't be all jerky because once you got your line capacity way back up on your spool and that fish real close, you need to take off again with that bouncy, jerky, drag system.
Yeah.
It would just, you'd either straighten the hooks or break him off. I mean, it was a nightmare.
Oh, that made us better fishermen because I know where everything is on my reel. It's amazing you get people in the boat that don't know how to get the reel adjusted real quick. I mean, I can back off my drag. I can do anything. I know exactly what's going on with that reel. And you get people in the boat, it's like a foreign object to them, And in a critical situation, you need to be able to pull that line out or back that drag off. What you need to do, you need to know where everything's at,
Right. Well, cool. Well, man, I'm glad you're having a good year down there.
This week was good, man. Golly.
Stellar, man. Well,
yeah,
Cliff, if somebody wants to come down, you got openings. Throw them out a number. Somebody wants to get with you and come down and fish
with
you, man.
All right, go 361-949-0707. Got lots of openings, man. Thanks, Mickey.
We all do. It's Corona time. All right, man.
That's all right, buddy.
Well, Cliff, always a pleasure, and y'all have fun down there. Catch them up, buddy.
All right, but thanks, man.
All right, see you. Thank you.
All right.
All right, that's Captain Cliff Webb. And we're going to wrap up the show. We got about 7 or 8 minutes left, and we're going to get a report from Lake Livingston now at Pinwall Campground and Marina, Mr. Harry Detant. Harry, what's up, man?
Mickey, it looks like we got a beautiful morning up here this morning.
It's pretty air. The coast, everything's pretty this morning. It looks good, man.
I guarantee you, looking out on the lake. We got a little bit of a haze up here this morning, but looking out on the lake, it's just flat. There in that ripple going across it, no wind, no nothing. But anyway, it'll guarantee to be hot, but everything's in pretty good shape up here on Livingston. You know, the lake level, you know, we're right at normal pool, maybe an inch above, but, you know, that's not much. But that end of it's good. The release coming out of the dam, you know, somewhere around 1,500 cubic feet a second, and, you know, just out of Livingston, that's just a trickle. So I looked on the maps going upriver, you know, there's just not a lot of water coming down out of the Dallas area. And it looks like we're headed for maybe a little bit of drier weather. I'm not quite sure about that. But anyway, everything's pretty good. You know, if I'm kind of hoping that this weather pattern will hang in here for the next, next 10 days at least. But, you know, if it does, this lake is going to wind up really, really nice and pretty and green I think fishing will be awesome. Starting to see some little bit better whites come in, and with the water clearing, you know, we're starting to see some hybrids show up too, and stripers. So anyway, it's pretty good. We had a good run of it this week. The traffic's down on Livingston compared to what it was several weeks ago. I mean, hopefully everybody's gone back to work and things like that, and it's kind of settled back down to about normal. So, you know, we're just kind of working our way into towards Labor Day will be our next holiday, and you know, then I guess people go to filling up corn feeders and getting ready for deer season, and which is just right around the corner, you know. Hey, you know, not I looked out on one of my pieces of property. I don't know where in the world it came from, but here about a week or so ago, there was an ibex standing out yonder. Where it came from, I have no clue.
Somebody's high fence. He got out.
Somebody got out, you know. But around me, I guarantee you, I'm not aware of a high fence, but maybe there is, you know.
Well, but, there's some up there, and, you know, I don't know how close to you, but there's some up in East Texas, and those things will move. I mean, we see that a lot these days, these high fences. Some of these exotics get out, and they just go to where they want to be, man.
I don't remember who it was. Somebody told me that they like pretty dense cover and grass, and they like to be near water. So he had all three of them.
He's right? Got it all.
He's got it all, you know. And he, as far as I know, you know, that little old patch of woods, it's not very big, but nobody goes there, and nobody's in there or anything, you know. That's something I'm going to be sleeping in there this morning for all I know. But yeah, he's just standing out under it. It really kind of caught me by surprise. I in my foggiest dreams, I didn't think I'd see something like that standing out there, but sure enough he was. So, you know, that was kind of a little bonus point there. But I said, well, you know, maybe I'll lease that out as a hunting lease. I don't know, you know. Who knows what comes up, but anyway, but things have been going good up here.
Well, he's yours to shoot if you want him. He's fair game.
I know it.
They're good eating too.
I've been told they were.
Yeah, they're good eating.
You know, I don't, when I left New Mexico, I was just starting to get into it. I was wanting to hunt with a camera more than a rifle. I mean,
yeah,
that way I could hunt all year long and if I can shoot him with a camera, I can kill him with a rifle, and I'd rather carry that picture around with me, it'd be something to show off and everything. But anyway, that was a long time ago. It really was now. But anyway, things are going good up here on Livingston, Mickey. I mean, we've got a pretty good crowd this weekend. I mean, it's not overly crowded or anything like that. I'm getting lots and lots of calls coming out of Houston, and people wanting tent camping. And, you know, we just don't have any tent camping here. And other than the state park, which I think they're limited on what they do because of the virus.
Right.
It's about the only place I know of that a person can go set up a tent. But, you know, people are wanting to get out of town and into a little cleaner air or whatever, you know. But we've had a lot of calls for tent camping and things like that. They say that, RVing, fishing, and boating, you know, I mean, is the number one hot sports at the time, which which I can understand that. I mean, all of them's outside and outdoors, so that works.
No doubt.
For everybody, it sure does.
Getting a great outdoors, breathe the fresh air, and get away from people, man.
Oh, that's, you ain't kidding.
That's a big deal right now. I think that's why everybody's so overly crowded at all these, you know, all the marinas and everywhere else up and down the coast and all the area lakes. People are just getting away. They've had enough, man. They're ready to recreate.
Yeah.
All right, Harry. Well, if somebody wants to call you about coming up, and give them out a number, man.
Just give us a call up here at Pinwall, and that number is 936-967-4752. And Mickey, y'all have a good day.
We're gonna do it. Harry, you have a good one too. Nice talking to you. Right. See you, bud.
All right, thank you. Take care. Bye.
All right. That's Harry Detan up on Livingston, Pinwall Campground and Marina, and that's all the time we have for today's show, but we'll be back tomorrow. Open Line Fun Sunday right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.